This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Here is your ESPN Radio three-day forecast. Right now it is 30 and cloudy. It's been snowing on and off. Looks like there's still a 60% chance of snow for about an hour around 5:30. Then it gets down to 19 by tomorrow morning, but it won't be snowing. High of 37 and sunny tomorrow. High of 32 and sunny on Friday. Then it gets nice again. High of 40 and sunny on Saturday. 58 and cloudy on Sunday. 55 and raining on Monday. 56 and cloudy on Tuesday. So in the 50s, despite there being some more rain in the forecast starting Sunday. Again, right now it is 30 and cloudy. ESPN Radio.
And here we go.
Is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive.
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
The drive
and
the two.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Let's go for a little ride.
Man, how about that?
How about that?
It's a drive. Derek Piper, Trevor Elise, Alec Bussey's on Intern Island here as well. No Lante today. I think he'll be back tomorrow. I'll be up tomorrow in Evanston.
That's right, because you're going to the game. I forgot that.
Yeah. Illinois Northwestern tomorrow. We talked to the players and Brad Underwood today. We'll have audio of them later in the 5 o'clock hour. 4:30, we're going to rank Illinois' potential opponents based on bracketology right now. It looks like 7 or 8 seeds, so 1 or 2 seeds.
If they won.
Right. That's a good point.
That's what I'm talking about
here. Maybe I should look at some 10s and some 9s.
You could do that as well. But yesterday, we were kind of starting to launch into looking at the different bracket projections and seeing if they were to win the first game, what kind of favorable matchup would you get in the second game, which is a fun exercise to do, even though it might be getting ahead of ourselves a little bit.
What else are we going to do?
Right.
Other than read your Twitter notifications.
Which we can get to in a minute.
Before we do that, though, we talked about it yesterday. Maybe Duke's not so scary, huh?
Yeah, what happened there? I didn't catch any of the game. They lose in double overtime to Wake Forest.
Gave up 111.
And Wake Forest isn't even like
over 500.
Miami good. And Miami's not good either. But at least Miami's 3 games over 500. Wake Forest was, what, 11 and 15 going into that game last night?
Not good. Duke was up 9, I think, in the last minute and a half.
Were they?
And they blew that lead.
Okay.
And then let's see what it is. It's only a quad 2 loss.
Really?
Wake Forest is, I guess, because it's on
the road. Top 75 is quad 1.
Wake Forest, 103 in the net.
Ouch. Ouch.
Not good. ACC.
It's hard for a road loss to be a bad loss, but that's a bad road loss.
It is.
The ACC's a mess. Is Florida State, right?
Not good, baby!
Florida State's in the lead by over a game now, right?
Yeah. Florida State is good.
They are good.
They're athletic, long, good defensive squad.
I like them if you're talking about another team that, like, Final Four Dark Horse, they seem Texas Techy to me, like last year's Texas Tech team. Just a bunch of lanky, athletic dudes who can make threes and also dunk all over you.
Yeah, they're 14-3 in that league. Louisville's only half game behind, surprisingly.
I'm not buying Louisville.
I know.
They've had some weird, funky losses. They've had great wins. They won at Duke, but then you lose by 20 at Clemson.
Lost to Georgia Tech.
Lost to Georgia Tech. I mean, they've got some ugly losses on that resume as well.
Eesh.
And now Duke has another one. Duke's a little weird. They lost to Stephen F. Austin. They lost to, I know Louisville at home isn't
NC
like a
State.
huge mark against you, NC State, by a lot on the road. Then you follow that up by losing to Wake Forest. Did they play in between NC State and Wake Forest?
They beat Virginia Tech by 24.
Okay. Still, that's got to be about as bad a three-game stretch as possible in the Mike Krzyzewski era, right?
For sure.
Losing to a 500-ish team on the road by 20, and then following that up a week later by losing on the road to maybe the worst team in the conference.
You know, we've talked about this on the show that Coach K's essentially only had one Final Four appearance in the last decade. And
correct.
We were talking to the media scrum today that it was brought up. Duke's only won Well, I'll ask you this. When's the last time they've won a share of the ACC? I'm going to have to fact check this, but won a share of the ACC title.
The way you're asking that makes me think it's been a while.
Yeah.
Has it been?
I was shocked.
I would say last year. Is that wrong?
Sure. Yeah, right. That's what you would think.
I mean, I know North Carolina's always up there with them.
Virginia last year
won the national championship, so I understand why they'd be up there. But I'd say, what, 2018?
Regular season champs tied, had a share last time, 2010.
It's been a decade since Duke has won the ACC regular season title.
Last outright, 2006.
It's been 14 years since Duke has outright won the ACC?
Yeah. Can we evaluate this blue blood thing?
Do you have the list of teams that have won it?
No, I was just looking at theirs, but I can pull it up.
What? That doesn't sound right at all. I mean, Virginia last year, I understand. But not even having a tie for the ACC title with North Carolina?
Yes.
That doesn't sound right.
Last year, Virginia and North Carolina tied.
Okay.
Before that, Virginia. 2017, Carolina. 16, Carolina. 15, Virginia. 14, Virginia. 13, Miami, 12, Carolina, 11, Carolina, 10,
wow.
Duke and Maryland tied.
Wow.
Last outright was 06.
Wow. Wow.
Hmm.
That is shocking. That's legitimately shocking. I would have said last year or the year before, not a decade ago.
Right.
Holy cow.
And since 2010, they made the Final Four in 2010, won it that year, also went 2015, won it that year, but that's
right.
The only Final Four.
And remember in 2010,
in the last decade.
It was when Gordon Hayward almost beat him with that half-court shot that was like half an inch from going in as it rimmed out. That is weird. And then, of course, the other thing that sticks out in my head is that one year when they actually weren't that good and Coach K suddenly had a hip problem or something, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where he had like head trauma or something and he stepped away for 2 months while they weren't good.
He kept fainting during games.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but like, come on. I mean, it's been well documented that Coach K is kind of a sore loser. At NC State, there was a video going around where he basically didn't shake anybody's hand. He just blew through the handshake line. You know, just stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have any sympathy for him. He's one of the all-time winningest coaches. If this is like the Patriots' like end to their era, whatever, fine by me. I don't know that it is. But that is legitimately shocking that it's been 14 years since Duke has outright won their conference. And then think about a team like Kansas. Who's what? At least won a share of it like 13 of the last 14 years.
True.
I know it was finally snapped last year, right? Or did they win it last year? I think it was finally snapped last year.
Texas Tech won it last year.
Yeah, but the point is like Kansas has just gone on this ridiculous run, and I would hold Kansas and Duke in a similar regard over the past decade, but to think Kansas is up on Duke with conference titles 9-0 in this decade is ridiculous.
Right, and Bill Self still has the attachment to his name that maybe can't win the big game. He won the one title.
Right.
But I'm interested in what the Final Four looks like for them. They've made, two in the last decade similar to Duke, but
it's just interesting. It feels like I can only nitpick examples of teams like that that actually make it all the way. Like Kentucky, I know, in their really, really good season, Wisconsin beat them, right?
Mm-hmm. When they were they undefeated in that game?
They were undefeated going into that game. And then obviously there are examples like 2015 when Duke, that was the year Duke beat Wisconsin to win the title. I'm not saying Duke or Kentucky can never get it done, but still, I feel like when I'm, 50, if neither coach wins another one again, I'm going to go, they were like two of the greatest coaches ever and throw Bill Self in there too, but like at the same time, they've won combined like three titles in the last 15 years?
Yeah.
It seems a little strange, right?
Yeah.
And I know college basketball, there's a lot of parity. You know, when you have like a team like VCU getting to Final Fours or Butler, it kind of throws things off. But still,
it's part of why we love it.
And that's why I love it. I was watching Dayton and George Mason on the Cubs network last night for a minute.
Really?
It finally came in for me.
Did it really?
I don't know about anybody else, but the signal actually kicked in for
a
minute.
Must have been listening to the show yesterday.
And Dayton's really good. I'm here to report that as well. I'm also here to report that people are apparently upset.
Yeah, let's just get to it.
And be on Twitter, and I don't know why.
Just pointed out an obvious, you just kind of made a thought public.
Sometimes I like to poke the bear. I enjoy doing that.
We should do that.
Mr. Biscuit. I actually love getting into Twitter fights. Now, I'm not going to go, seek one out, but when I tweet something about Tom Izzo being weird and a bunch of MSU fans come at me or Missouri, I'm like, all right.
You tweet anything last night?
No.
Because he was whining.
Was he? I didn't
watch that. At his typical level.
I was actually watching the debate.
Oh.
I didn't watch a really good Big Ten game, and I watched a political debate. How about that?
How about that?
Was it a good game?
Yeah, it was a good game. Iowa was in it till the very end, and then Michigan State made their typical run. And
in a 24-hour span, just real quick, Iowa can go from second to sixth, and then depending on what happens tonight, can go back up to third. In less than 24 hours, yeah. They can go from second to sixth to third.
It was just funny last night in the halftime. Iowa was maybe leading in that game. I think they were at half, and he cut away to Seth Greenberg, and I think LaFonso Ellis was in the halftime report, mm-hmm. saying, which of the Big Ten teams can go the deepest? Like, Iowa, their offense. We're just picking out of a hat. Sure. There's five teams.
Yeah. It's almost like, okay, Seth, tonight your argument's going to be Iowa. Right. LaFonso, you've got Maryland. And you can
Penn State's on TV tonight, so it's Penn State.
Right. Robbie Hummel can get Illinois next week when he's got the Illinois-Ohio State
crazy.
Game.
I'm not...
and
not
none of them are necessarily wrong,
put
either.
Put too much blame on it, because it's...
Right.
That ebb and flow.
It's just crazy. And Jeremy said it now. It's like, even I'm like the most obsessive over like scenarios and all that stuff. Even I'm just kind of stepping away right now. Because there's too many. There's someone tweeted there's like 25,000 scenarios for how the Big Ten will finish with 2 weeks to go. You kind of almost just need the games to happen. Teams to cannibalize each other and see what happens. Check in a week from now.
Well, we laughed at the notion yesterday that Illinois could still technically win the Big Ten outright if they win out, which would be tough to do, and Maryland only wins one of their final four.
Right.
They're a pick'em tonight at Minnesota.
Yeah, that's all sorts of
stinky.
We're
going to do Trev's ticket later, I think. Yes.
I'd be running at that one as a preview for Trev's ticket.
Yeah, that's one we're going to do.
People running at me at Twitter anyways.
Yeah, let's get to it.
My point was, sometimes I know that what I'm tweeting is going to instigate something, and I'm fine with it, but I kind of know that it's like a hot take. Truly, there was a picture of Brad Underwood getting on the bus. They had all their bags packed up, heading up to the hotel, and I just wondered aloud, why are they going up the day before, spending a bunch of money renting out a floor of a hotel when Northwestern is 2.5 hours away? I don't care. That's fine. Go ahead. Go up. Whatever you want to do. I just was wondering aloud, like, huh, that's interesting. It seems like they wouldn't really need to do that. That's it. That's all. That was my entire thought.
Yeah.
And then I went to the back to cut up some Underwood audio, some IO audio, some Trent audio. And I walked back and said I had 33 notifications. Like, what the hell?
Roasted you.
People are going after me. IO's mom is in my mentions right now.
Wow.
Now, she just said LOL dot, dot, dot.
Which that so says a lot.
Hans just jokingly tweeted at me that this tweet has really angered him. That's what he just tweeted at me. This tweet has royally angered me, he says. I was just wondering why they were leaving the day before for a game that's 2 hours away. Now, here's some of the people. Let's see. This guy says I'm dumb because Northwestern is more than 2 hours away. Well, that is true. Probably more like 2.5 or 3, given traffic.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Less than three,
this,
for sure.
This person, Cheryl, says I have to figure in that Kofi is 7 feet tall and he doesn't want to get directly off a bus and play ball. So stop complaining, she says.
That's, fair enough.
That's an interesting argument. I've never thought of it. What's the specifics there? His knees are weak from having to bend over in the bus, and he needs time to adjust to standing again or something?
I think Kofi's going to enjoy riding the bus regardless of when it is.
I'd hope that Peoria Charter has enough room to...
Yeah, give him a whole row and just stretch out. It doesn't seem like too big of a problem.
Let's see. What did you expect? They'd drive up tomorrow? Well, yes. That was the antithesis of my question.
I mean, I understand why they're not doing it.
No, so do I. But my point, I'm not trying to argue they should. I was just wondering why they did. Someone else says, yeah, they should all go to class tomorrow, board the bus at 1, eat a cheese sandwich, hit rush hour traffic, change into their hoopty ball costumes, and get to the gym 20 minutes before tip.
Yeah, that's what we did in high school, middle school.
Man, 2 hours away, you're dumb. Thank you. Appreciate it. Io's mom says, LOL, dot, 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 dot. I'm not really sure what that means. Stay with the road game routine. Okay, I'll buy that one. They've been so good on the road, maybe they have to leave the day before.
Leaving it home, I know football does it. I'm pretty sure basketball does as well. They stay in a hotel the night before.
Right. No, I get that. Like, I have no problem with them going up tonight and staying in a hotel. It seems like if they left at 7 a.m. tomorrow, they would surely get to Evanston in enough time to shoot around for a 7 o'clock p.m. game. Whatever. I don't care.
It's cool.
Have fun, guys. I hope they're listening to us on the bus. Obviously, I have angered Illini Nation, including Io's mother. And for that, I deeply apologize.
No, don't
for my,
back
for
off
my,
of
for
it.
My horrible sentiment.
Just, it's part of the...
I get it. They want to practice at Evanston tonight. You could also just practice in Champaign tonight and practice at Evanston tomorrow. Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Hans is on my side. Hans says they have to adjust to the climate and time zone change. Oh, wait. Hans has got my back.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
It happens. I've stir the pot. People. Just take that role on Twitter. It's okay.
That's right.
Keep people on you, you know, keep people thinking about you.
Next time I'm going to suggest they take a red eye the day of a big road game.
That's right.
Just to keep themselves fresh and to keep Kofi limber as he ducks on that airplane seat.
This is a team that's more comfortable on the road, though. Maybe they're looking forward to just getting away from here, which is odd.
Which is definitely odd. I don't really know how much of a road environment Evanston provides.
No.
Probably going to have a lot of orange there anyways. Have you been to the new arena?
I have. I went there last year.
Thoughts?
I'm sure it's a dark day in my history.
Oh, right. The double dunk.
It was it's an ugly game. Illinois loses.
Kofi committed.
Kofi did commit.
Right? Or someone
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
the game.
Yeah.
Had to get a story out there.
That's right.
Then make my way to
was that a one-point loss? Like, Tevian missed a three late or something like that.
And it was one where you lost the ball on a late possession. It had the lead in the ball under a minute, and somehow a second chance three goes in for Northwestern.
One of those.
Yeah,
several of those.
When it was late game, and you're like, I'm almost going to lose. Like,
and don't forget the year before at Northwestern, the game went to overtime. Northwestern, I think the stat was like...
Didn't miss a shot in overtime?
And they didn't score a field goal for the last like 4 minutes of regulation. And they went like 1-for-1 on field goals in overtime and somehow ended up winning.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
McIntosh had a bunch of turnovers in that game.
Yeah.
Was that before or after the Maryland?
That was the week of Wake Forest.
Both.
Wake Forest when you had like a 5-point lead at the under 4 and lost by 10. Although that wasn't like a point to one thing in late game collapse. That was sort of just you fell apart in the last 10 minutes of the game. And then it was Northwestern, the overtime loss, and then it was Maryland at home.
The DeMonte inbounds.
You're up with 2 seconds left, and you end up losing.
That was hard to do.
That was a tough week. And it was weird because I couldn't grasp like a macro sense of it because it was Underwood's like third week on the job in terms of in season. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know he'd been on the job in the off season, so you can't sit there and go like, man, burn this down. This is terrible because it just started. But that's a gut punch week regardless of how long into a coaching tenure you are.
It was a jarring wake-up call for those that, and it was hard not to look at the turnaround Underwood had at Oklahoma State and like, hey, you know, maybe they're more competitive. Maybe they're a bubble team.
We thought they were going to be good their first year. I mean,
Mark Smith's coming in.
Yeah, I thought they'd be good. LaRon Black, Finke. Sure.
Yeah.
Finke's the best fit in Underwood's system. This is the perfect system for him. Like, people thought they were going to be good.
Right.
And I don't blame them, but man, that was a gut check week. Anyways, let's hope for better up there tomorrow. When you go for the second time to, what is it, Wintrust Arena? Or is that DePaul?
That was DePaul.
It's Allstate Arena?
Well, that was where they played during their rebuilding it.
Now they've got their new facility wherever it is.
Is it still called Welsh
Ryan?
Yeah.
I don't know. At least it doesn't look like a high school gym. Although, to be honest, I kind of dug the high school gym.
Yeah, Welsh Ryan.
I kind of liked it. Is that weird? Like the wooden bleachers, it kind of seemed like the rack, but less intimidating, obviously. But, like, you know, like, people are on top of you. It's sort of a homey environment.
I guess
let me rephrase it. For Northwestern's sake, with the context of their program, I feel like they're almost better suited for a small, homey environment than, like, a giant NBA glistening arena.
Well, do that
instead. That's never going to be filled up.
Instead of having to put curtains in your upper deck.
Yeah, that's bad.
Just kind of own the fact that you're...
Own it.
Lower tier. That's what it felt like.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of Northwestern is better than the record shows, and I guess they are, but I'm not really concerned. Are you? I mean, I know Boo Booey's playing, and he wasn't playing in the first game, and Northwestern only lost by 4, but I'm kind of feeling a blowout. I'm waiting for a blowout, and I'm feeling like this could be it.
Yeah. This Illinois team, again, plays well on the road, and they just have it in their mental that... I don't know. They just have an extra edge going on the road where I would expect them to. It's weird to say I expect a blowout to come more likely on the road than at home. I know they had one, really both against Purdue. They blew out Purdue at Mackey and blew out Purdue
here.
But Northwestern's won one game since they beat SIUE in December.
Ouch.
I mean, they're 1-16 since then.
And that Purdue blowout on the road, you were down at halftime. So while it was a blowout, it didn't feel like a wire-to-wire blowout.
I'm not sure it'll be one of those. Illinois just hasn't.
Maybe I'm just wishing for
had
one.
A bunch.
It just would be nice. Even when Gross had his teams rolling at Northwestern, it felt like you'd just win those games by 25. Like, is it too much to ask?
A couple of those.
Is it too much to ask that only comes out, Felice hits a layup on the first three possessions, Io drains a three, Allen drains a three, Trent drains a three, timeout at 16-4? Because you just haven't seen that yet this year. Hardly at all.
I don't know if it's too much to ask, although...
I mean, I guess it doesn't matter, say, but...
Especially the threes, Illinois shooting 28% from three in Big Ten play.
Again, I like to mess around on KenPom, and if you click on the conference-only checkmark to look at the stats, I can't find another team that is as highly rated as Illinois that has as much dark red as Illinois does on offense. I mean, it's really bad in the conference.
Yeah.
The only reason why it's not really bad overall is because you've got things like Longwood and 125 points to at least keep the KenPom stats looking mediocre instead of just outright bad.
Yeah.
But click on any. I know there's not a ton of great offenses. Like, if you eliminate the Iowas, it's not like Michigan State scoring 80 a game.
I mean, Maryland's offense isn't very good.
Yeah, even Maryland.
They don't make threes.
In the high 50s when they go on the road. But if you click on the conference-only checkmark on their stats, it's not like traffic light red. And Illinois is really, really dark red. They're 14th in the conference in three-point shooting and overall.
And two-point shooting.
And overall shooting. So I don't know. I guess my question is, do you think it's even remotely sustainable that they can continue to... It feels weird how many wins they've had in spite of something. And I would just like a game where they win in spite of nothing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The Rutgers home game was in spite of terrible shooting. Northwestern home game was close. There's been so many road games where you win shooting 29%, and you're like, how the hell did they just do that? And I guess it's great, obviously, that we're talking about a win, not a loss, but I just want one game where everything's dropping.
It's funny how in the offseason the question was, could this team guard anybody?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, when you just think back when Brad Underwood came here, he comes from number one offensive efficiency in the country at Oklahoma State, and now they're the worst three-point shooting team in the Big Ten. They're the worst two-point shooting team in the Big Ten as far as percentages go, but they're number two in the conference defensive efficiency, and they can win ugly. They rebound as well as anybody. Just a nice change there, but also what you're changing is wins and losses. So
right. But you're right that, and we talked about it before, but Underwood coming in, if you had frozen me then, I'd say, well, my two biggest questions are recruiting, because the coaching X and O stuff, that'll be a given, and defense, because he had to switch it halfway through the year at Oklahoma State, and much has been made about that. And those have been, recruiting and defense have been two of your littlest concerns so far right now, right?
I thought this team could average like 80 a game.
Well, it made sense.
When I
on paper, they should.
Io and Allen and Trent and Trey and Georgie and Kofi.
Right. I push back on Lon's, and Lon's right, but I push back on his thing where he says they have no shooters, they need to get a shooter. I think they have like five shooters. It's just none of them are shooting that well, except for Allen. Right? I mean, Lon says recruit a three-point shooter. That's what Allen was.
Yeah.
And I understand Lon wants
too.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Lon wants his white kid from Indiana. I gotcha. But I just,
fair enough.
They have three-point shooters on this team. It's just, what do you do when your three-point shooters are a combined 5 for 22 from deep, you know?
Yeah, it would be nice for them to come out, hit some threes, because Northwestern, good chance maybe they throw the zone at you. They threw zone at you here in Champaign. So if you're able to, as you mentioned, Feliz gets to the bucket, hit a couple threes, throw Georgie in there. Georgie goes crazy, three buckets in a row.
Oh, wow, I like how I'm drinking the Kool-Aid with you here.
I don't know.
We'll see.
It's just fun to watch.
We'll see.
But last year was not, and also as Jason reminds us on the text line, let's not assume anything, one win, Northwestern football beat us.
Oh, for sure. That was bad.
Yeah, so.
That was really bad.
We'll talk more Illinois Northwestern. We'll hear from Brad Underwood and the players in the 5 o'clock hour. When we come back, we're going to talk about bracketology, potential Illini tourney opponents. We're going to rank those 1 and 2 seeds, who we'd like to see Illinois play, who Illinois probably does not want to see play. And we're also going to do Trev's ticket to end the show, give you some betting advice. Pick against Piper is still alive. If you want to weigh in, 217-359-2255. You can find us on Twitter. Just search at the drive 93.5. While you're on Twitter, also find Trevor and his Twitter mentions. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at espncu.com. You can watch us live on YouTube. Just search Tay and Piper or the drive 93.5. When we come back, grading potential Illini tourney opponents. We'll do that next. This is the drive.
This is Rob Meyer with Provident Financial Group. As independent financial advisors, we can help ensure you're following a strategy that makes sense no matter what the market is doing. Take control of your financial life with a complimentary consultation. We will create a plan that's right for you. Contact us today at 3017 Village Office Place in Champaign or call us at 217-366-3456 or online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
At Everyday Kitchen, Restaurant, and Bar, we believe that food makes you feel good. Get cozy by the Open Flame Spitfire Grill to enjoy modern comfort food and drink, crafted with soul and served with heart. Enjoy slow-roasted chicken, hand-cut steaks and seafood, and patiently simmered soups. Dig into fresh takes on homestyle favorites, including the Spitfire Pot Roast or Five Cheese Mac and Cheese. Book your table at EverydayKitchen.com or visit us at Neal Street and Fox Drive, right next to Logic Everyday Community.
You're moving into a new neighborhood. It's important to make a good first impression. Is this what you want move-in day to be? The professional movers at 2 Minute a Truck know your new neighbors are watching from their kitchen window. They're sizing you up. Make a good first impression. Hire professional movers that are background checked and drug tested. TwoMenChampagne.com. That's a smart move.
Hi, welcome to Honda BMW of Champaign.
Hi, I've got all sorts of car problems.
Okay, we'd be happy to help you out. What's the issue?
First off, I think I need a new car. Mine is really old.
We've got a large selection of new Hondas on our lot.
Great, and then my wife needs one too, but I don't think we have the budget for two new cars.
Our finance department will help you pick the best option for your needs.
Wow, you answered all my questions.
That's what we're here for. Sir?
Finally, peace of mind.
Honda BMW of Champaign. Their staff is committed to giving you peace of mind. Stop by today at the corner of Neal and Brewwash in Savoy.
Hey, it's Shane from Rosati's. And boy, 2020 has been busy so far. But we haven't forgotten our 2020 Give Back Plan. Starting March 1st, be listening to find out which charity we'll be providing our first give back to. It's pretty simple. When you eat at Rosati's, mention that month's local charity, and we'll give back a portion of our proceeds to help that charity. I told you, very simple. We get started next month, so be ready to help us give back. And thanks for choosing Rosati's for lunch, dinner, or even both. Come see us at 701 South Gregory or call us at 328-2334.
The Champaign County Forest Preserve District offers lots of great winter fun. Their educational programs will teach you about owls, how to make maple syrup, woodcocks, and more. Outside offers sledding at Homer Lake, cross-country skiing, trail hikes, and ice fishing. On clear nights, head to Middle Fork River Forest Preserve in Penfield to check out the stars. You'll be amazed with views at Illinois' first international dark sky park. Go to ccfpd.org to see all they have to offer for you to get closer to nature this winter.
I-L-L-I-N-I. Cheer on the Illini at Pia Sports Bar and Grill. Pia serves up its famous 10-ounce Slugger Burger for only $8.95. Enjoy $3 22-ounce Light and Coors Light drafts every home and away Illini game. Watch the game at Pia's or ride the free shuttle to all home games. Plus, enter to win 100 level seats each game. You will find it all at Pia's with live video gaming, sports, food, drinks, and fun. West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Ladies of Champaign, it's time to take a stand against heart disease. Because when we come together, real change is possible. Life-saving change. Let's celebrate that change at Champaign's Go Red for Women event on Thursday, February 27th. This event honors the 1 in 3 women who are affected by heart disease. Enjoy cocktails, dinner, and more. All while raising funds for the American Heart Association and the life-saving research it funds. Visit heart.org/ChampaignGoRed for more information.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
We're back on the drive. Any updates on the Twitter world? I think Alec wanted to weigh in as far as...
Yeah, Alec did clarify that Io's mom was responding to a comment against me.
Oh.
And said,
oh, really?
...... So maybe she's on my side. I appreciate
Somebody's
it.
Got to be.
Mama DeSumo, I appreciate you.
You got all the stars behind you. You got Hans D and Io's mom on your side.
That's yeah, I mean, Hans can fly me anywhere I need to go, and Io's mom clearly's got the game tickets for any away game.
Hey.
So that combination should serve me well.
Yeah. You want to get to this...
Yeah, well, we were talking opponents. About bracket projections yesterday, and once we got them to the second game, we didn't really take them any further. So I just thought it'd be interesting to look at some of these teams that they might match up with and decide whether or not, and, you know, no one knows really, but which teams just on paper would be an interesting matchup, which wouldn't be, which would be a favorable matchup for Illinois, et cetera. Let me find some college hoopty ball music.
You can give us a Trev Palm grade with each one of these?
Someone texted in about Trev Palm again.
It's sticking.
You mean Trev Palm?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a thing.
I'm just going to take off someone else's work and edit the things I don't like about it and call it Trev Palm.
Just change the colors. Green and red.
Purple and yellow.
Yeah.
All right. I don't like purple. You like purple? I'm not a big purple guy.
I kind of like purple.
Really?
Yeah.
Purple makes me sad.
Why?
I don't know. It just looks like a depressing color.
You watch the Lakers game last night?
No, I did not, but I saw Zion and LeBron one-on-one a few times, and it did not end very well for Zion.
Yeah,
LeBron's pretty ridiculous,
quarter.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I know we all talk about it a lot, and there's sort of an exhaustive LeBron thing, but I feel like every year people are kind of waiting in a Tom Brady-like way for the other shoe to drop, like, oh, here we go. LeBron's old now. And then he just goes out and posterizes Zion and scores however many he did, and he's like, no, I'm not old.
Doesn't quite have the same bounce.
No, like, yeah, sure.
It's now where maybe his chin was at the rim, to maybe now where his hairline's at the rim. That's a whole nother deal.
Where is his hairline? he's getting dangerously close to Carlos Boozer territory, where he paints the,
he
paints
how
the black on his
thick
head.
Some of those headbands are though.
Yeah, they're really thick.
Some are like 5 inches.
Sweat. Right.
Right.
Okay. Sweat.
I don't know.
Right. Got it.
Caruso had a between the legs pass. Nick Caruso, who wears his headband backwards, and he's just a weird looking dude.
Cassius Winston had some dirty passes last night too, I saw on Twitter.
Yeah.
Where he weaved his way through like four guys.
Right.
He really played well last
night.
One
more note on the purple though.
Yeah.
Is there better throwback unis than the Toronto Raptors?
Oh, I love those.
They wore those last night.
I love those.
Kyle Lowry was doing just some foolish crap.
They beat Giannis, right?
No, they lost.
Oh, they lost. See, this is how little I watch the NBA.
He tried to dribble through George Hill's legs and then, like, literally crawl under his legs, and he hooked his...
Like his whole body go through George. Okay.
He took his elbow and hooked on the back of Hill's knee and tried to get a foul.
Interesting.
I was shocked that the referee called a charge.
Interesting. Also, yeah. Mark Cuban, I guess, ran on the court and is in trouble. He didn't like the call, and he like came down from his suite and ran into the court. Anyways.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to list a team, and you tell me just based on KenPom, gut, whatever, yay or nay. Alec, you can join us too if you want. Yay or nay on whether or not you think Illinois would do well against this team in a tourney matchup, or if you'd be interested in the matchup. I will start. This is from Bracket Matrix, by the way, which is the website that takes the consensus of every other bracket projection and puts it in one. That's where I'm getting my top 14 seeds from. Number one overall probably won't be for long since they just lost, but Baylor. What are your thoughts on Illinois facing Baylor if they were in an 8-9 and Baylor was a 1?
I'd be intrigued. I'd be interested. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a great matchup. They don't necessarily have that dude. I know that Jared Butler's really good, but they're more of the, I don't know, a nice collection of athletes, physicality, good defense, number three, and KenPom and defensive efficiency. They're also... top 10, Illinois and Baylor, top 10 in offensive rebounding percentage, so I'd be interested in that. But Baylor's beaten a lot of tough teams. They've beaten Arizona. They've beaten Kansas.
Butler,
Villanova, West Virginia. That's a really tough team, but I'd much rather see them than Kansas or maybe even Gonzaga because Gonzaga's offense would scare me.
Sure. I haven't watched 1 minute of Baylor basketball this year. I
haven't watched a ton.
I couldn't tell you one guy on the team.
It was a really good, entertaining game between them and Kansas.
Yeah. I mean, Kansas won by 2. Is that right?
3.
Okay. Alec, what are your thoughts on Baylor?
I mean, I wouldn't want to play Baylor. I feel like they're a pretty good team. Adjusted defensive efficiency on KenPom has them as the third best team in the top 15 for the same thing on the offensive end. Scott Drew, in my opinion, doesn't get enough credit for being a good coach. I know he's kind of caught a lot of shade in the past. I actually think he's a pretty solid coach. And I still think it says a lot that they went to Allen Fieldhouse and beat Kansas. And I know there's some people out there who still think that they might be the best team in the country. And I don't think Illinois wants to play potentially the best team in the country. So I wouldn't want to play Baylor, no.
Fair enough. Derek, you already mentioned them, but Kansas,
No.
It wouldn't be a great matchup.
I would love, especially as someone that covers a team, that writes, that has to find stories, Bill Self against Illinois would be just fantastic.
Yeah.
And I would love to build up to that. But as far as, does Illinois want to see that with what Kansas is doing right now? No. But the flip side is, if Illinois is going to make a run, you're going to have to face a Kansas or one of these teams to go deep into March. But they're the best defensive team in the country. Azubuike against Kofi would be really intriguing but really scary.
I feel like Azubuike would just hand Kofi his lunch.
Yeah. He's more athletic than Kofi. And I know that I saw on Twitter everybody was saying, oh, this is what Kofi needs to watch as far as style and being physical and everything. He's a better athlete. I understand some of the comps there because Azubuike isn't the stretch you out. That's why he's played four years in college.
Right.
But Dotson's great. They're just really dang good.
And again, they just beat the number one team in the country and they're missing like three players.
Yeah.
Who aren't nothing players to them either because they're still suspended. Alec, what are your thoughts on Kansas?
Yeah, I think Kansas is the last team you'd want to play. I feel like, because so much in Illinois offensively and defensively runs through Kofi's success, and I kind of got a spreadsheet. He averages like 5 more points in wins and like 4 more rebounds in wins than he does in losses. And Azubuike, I feel like, just steal your term, would just hand him his lunch just because he's more experienced and he's more talented and more athletic, like Derek said. And I think Dotson is a really tough matchup for Trent and Io on the defensive end. I would not want to play Kansas. And as interesting as the storylines would be with Bill Self, I feel like Bill Self would have a field day with this Kansas roster against Illinois.
Well, plus you already got the whole face UNLV and Kruger in the first round, then face Kansas and Self in the second round, and you lost them.
Yeah.
But I know
this is a reloaded Illinois.
Sure, yeah. It wouldn't be a similar level of hype, but I'm just saying you still actually already have played him once. My Siri's going off. Correct. I wonder what I said.
Siri wants to weigh in. Oh, now I said Siri, so mine's turning on.
Seem to be having trouble hearing you. I wonder what I said. I said, Siri, you will be improved in the first round, Kansas. Sorry, I missed that. Could you say Kansas again, please? No, thanks.
Sure, Siri didn't say delete your account.
Siri's just twitching because my Twitter is blowing up. Okay, number three right now is Gonzaga. How do you feel about Gonzaga? We kind of hit on them yesterday.
I would be afraid of who they are offensively, especially because they have a lot of good shooters. They're number one in the country in offensive efficiency, sixth in three-point percentage. I know that Kispert dude is physical, 6'7". He's good. He can shoot the three. They have a bunch of guys shooting over 37, 38% from three. Killian Tilly would be a tough matchup. It'd be cool to see Illinois get another shot at them after playing them and nearly beating them last year.
That's true.
But, again, you're going to have to face one of these teams to go on a run, but I wouldn't be thrilled with that matchup.
They may have Kisper. We got Kipper.
Ha-ha, there it is.
So, I'm not too concerned. Alec, are you concerned about Gonzaga?
So, of the other two teams we've mentioned, Kansas and Baylor, I feel better about Gonzaga just on the fact that Gonzaga hasn't played a really good team in a while. I mean, I know they just lost to BYU, who's in the top 25. But I feel better about Gonzaga than the other two teams, but I don't know if you really want to play them. I feel like Drew Timmy is another tough matchup for Illinois.
Forgot about Drew Timmy. Is he doing good?
He just had a solid year, yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know who guards him for Illinois, because he's, how tall is he, Derek? 6'10"?
Yep, 6'10.
So the logical person to guard him is Georgie, but you can't really trust Georgie right now on the offensive end at all. And he's never given Illinois much defensively, so.
Right.
Who guards Drew Timmy, I feel like, is a very concerning question if Illinois had to play Gonzaga.
Timmy had 20 and 10 against St. Mary's earlier this month.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
That's fair.
Trev, how about Trev Palm? I need Trev Palm to weigh in.
Okay.
Order Gonzaga, Kansas, and Baylor.
In terms of one being who you want to see the most out of those three, I would go Baylor, Gonzaga, Kansas.
Yeah. I agree.
Al texted in that Baylor is slow. I think Illinois' speed would hurt them. I'll take his word for it. I'm ranking a team first that I haven't watched. That's how Trev Palm works. We rank a team number one that we've never watched all year because that's how Trev Palm rolls. San Diego State is still the consensus four right now, but I'm sure that'll drop a little bit after their home loss to a sub-500 UNLV team. Would you mind seeing San Diego State if you were in a 2-7 matchup with them?
That would, to this point, be the first full game I've watched of San Diego State, watching them play against Illinois. I still have to find out more about them. I know they
Kawhi Leonard's really good. Let me tell you that much.
Yeah, it is a factor there.
Larry Brown, he'll have those guys ready to play.
They played close last night with Colorado State. They lost to UNLV, but they've beaten Iowa. They've beaten Creighton. They beat BYU. That doesn't mean they're a pretty good team. Malachi Flynn, I know that he's a good player.
Did they play Iowa in a tournament?
Early on in a tournament. Interesting. Because Iowa beat Texas Tech. San Diego State ended up beating Iowa. Gotcha. So, admittedly, don't know a ton about them, but I would grade them high as far as you want to play of the potential one seeds.
Alec?
I agree with Derek. I don't know a whole bunch about them just because they're not really on TV that often. But same thing as I'm saying with Gonzaga. They haven't really played a lot of really high-level opponents of late, and I feel like that's something that really trips Gonzaga up every year in the tournament. So maybe you catch San Diego State on the same kind of slippery slope, and they're not used to a high-level physical game against a Power 5 opponent.
Yeah, I could see that. Moving to the two seeds now, obviously this will probably drop as well following last night. But Duke is an interesting one. Derek says bring him on.
They've lost to Wake Forest, NC State, and Clemson, and Stephen F. Austin.
Vernon Carey's a problem.
He's a big problem. He's one of those dudes we talked about yesterday.
And so is Jones.
Yeah, Trey Jones.
Tyus, is that right? His brother?
Yeah. Tyus is the brother. Cassius Stanley's good.
Yeah.
But it's another one of those teams with freshmen. Really, we talked about this before, though. The last decade, that Kentucky team, well, that was maybe even before the decade, would Anthony Davis that won the title, and then the Duke team that beat Wisconsin when they had Jaleel and Justice Winslow. Those have only been the freshman-reliant teams that have won it all. So I'm cool with Duke. The ACC is terrible. Bring them on.
What a world we live in. Alec, are you cool with Duke?
I feel like anytime you see Duke on the schedule, you get a little bit nervous. With that being said, though, this Duke team isn't as good as previous Duke teams. I would be really intrigued by a Trey Jones and Trent Frazier matchup. I feel like that would be a lot of fun. If Trent shows up defensively, I feel like he could slow him down enough. And I feel like Kofi's size could kind of mess with Carey in the paint just a little bit. I know Carey's more athletic and more talented, I would say. But I don't know if he's run into someone that's 7 foot, 285, 290.
Not in the ACC,
pounds.
Probably hasn't.
Even last year, a better Duke team shouldn't really have beaten the UCF. Won by one in the second round.
That's a good point.
It beat Vatek by two.
Right.
And finally, they lost to Michigan State.
Yeah, that was not a good tournament for them.
No.
I mean, they didn't show out well. I think UCF, like, missed a layup where it went all the way around the rim and out or something.
Yeah,
right,
Dawkins at the rim.
And then, you know, they barely hung on against Virginia Tech, and then they lost their next game. So there wasn't exactly a lot to hang their hat on after that tournament. And now, look, they're not bad, but Duke losing to a team that's 11-15 hardly ever happens, so it's at least notable, if nothing else. Dayton's a two seed right now. They might be able to jump up to a one if Gonzaga and San Diego State keep losing.
They should hop over San Diego State because Dayton's two losses are Kansas and Colorado.
Colorado's ranked, and Kansas is number one.
Yeah.
So
compare that to the UNLV loss to San Diego State. I think Dayton's the better team. Dayton's very scary offensively. You know all about Obi Toppin. Freak athlete, bad matchup. They play him at the five. He's stretching it out.
Is he a five?
I mean, he's 6'9", but they...
I thought he was like a three.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
Yeah, they play him at the five to be able to, you know, essentially play small ball, but...
Good luck with that one,
He'd be a challenge for Kofi. I know that on the flip side, you try to post him up a little bit, but... and then Jalen Crutcher doesn't get talked about enough. He's shooting 42% at guard. He's a threat. I think they have enough pieces, and our friend of the show, James Herring, is there as well. So
there you go. If Illinois plays Dayton, we got to get him on.
It would be intriguing. I would love to see it. I wouldn't want to see that.
I would probably wince. Alec,
I feel like Obi Toppin is the first player, like, on the teams we've gone through that I'm like, yeah, he would just tear Illinois apart, other than Azubuike. But maybe Illinois is able to throw some matchups at Dayton offensively to score a little bit. Looking at KenPom, it looks like Dayton's 51st in the country in defensive efficiency, which isn't like horrible. But I still feel like Dayton's got too much talent, and when you have maybe the best player in the country, you tend to win big games like that.
Yeah. I think Dayton could win it all. I really do. If Obi, you know, drops 40 like he can.
That'd be really funny.
If they won it all.
Yeah, like a Dayton, like who would pick Dayton, like at the beginning of the year, who was picking Dayton to win the national title?
Yeah, nobody.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
They weren't even
nobody outside of that area.
Radar. Usually they're closer to playing in their own home stadium for the first four, or the last four in, than they are in the final four.
Right.
So we'll see. How about Maryland? They're a two seed right now.
Interesting.
Obviously you could play them in the second round if they were a two seed. There's no rule against it or anything is what I mean. How would you feel facing a team that you've lost to twice but had a combined 30-point lead on?
I mean, really, for the bulk of the game or the bulk of the time you played them, you led for what, 38 minutes in College Park, 37 minutes?
Yep.
And then
you led for the whole first half, even though Maryland got close at the end of the half.
Right.
Because it was like 45-42 at halftime.
And then here in Champaign, you jump out to the huge lead, but they beat you up in the second half. Maryland, they don't scare me a ton because they don't shoot that well. I feel like that allows you to be in that game. Again, yeah. I said yesterday that I feel like teams that shoot the three scare me the most as far as Illinois. They've held teams down who do that, but Cowan's tough. Jalen Smith is tough, but I just think if Illinois got another shot at them, even in the Big Ten tournament, I wouldn't feel terrible about the matchup.
I'm telling you, Maryland's ability to have a deep run completely relies on whether or not Wiggins and Ayala
can
give them anything more than 5 points a game. Because when they do, they can beat anybody.
Yeah, second half of the Illinois game, they just start hitting threes.
But Wiggins can also go like 0-for-7 from three.
Yep.
So that's a big X factor for them. Alec?
It's one of those things where it's hard to beat a team three times, especially when the team that has lost the previous two times, I feel like definitely should have won one of the games. And if they make layups and free throws in the second game, the one in Champaign, Illinois probably runs away with that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think Illinois would beat them a third time. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like it's just too hard to beat a team three times, especially when the games have been close each time.
Yeah, I don't know the stats like specifically on playing a team for a third time in the tournament. I know Duke and UNC have done it a few times where the third game is in the ACC tournament. But you're right, Alec, that the games were close. I mean, I think it would feel different if Maryland just whooped you twice and you were playing them a third time, right?
Yeah. One thing I would say is Illinois would have to make threes because Maryland has elite upside defensively. Jalen Smith's one of the best interior defenders in the entire country. I think you couldn't rely on Kofi and Georgie scoring in the paint a ton in that game. So if you're not going to make threes from the outside, even Iowa had a bad game against Maryland. So that would be one thing that would concern me.
Yep, I agree. Last team that would be a two seed, and we'll take a break, Florida State, who might win the ACC.
Florida State, very good athletically. Again, I don't know if that's a team that you score a ton against inside. But they shoot the three better than traditionally because you're usually thinking of Florida State having like three dudes that are 7 foot and slashers, and maybe if you can hold them on the perimeter, make them shoot jump shots, they're not going to win. But they shoot 36% as a team from three.
I wouldn't want to see them.
They're good.
I don't think that would match up well.
They haven't traditionally gone deep in the tournament, though.
That's true. They really haven't made a run.
They go to the Elite Eight in 2018.
Well, actually, okay, that's pretty good.
Sweet 16 last year. I don't know.
That's not bad. I'm not giving enough credit. Basketball. Who is it? Leonard
Hamilton.
Leonard Hamilton. Yeah, he always dresses impeccably. He looks
That's
like a
one thing to fear.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely fear that. Although I don't know. I mean, you seen Chin lately?
High level, right?
That dude dresses to the nines.
Pat Chambers gave him some credit.
Yeah, on the mic'd up, he said he was the best dressed coach in the Big Ten. He brings it, and he also likes Chicago style pizza better than New York style pizza.
That was funny.
Okay, we got to take a quick break, but I also included the three seeds on here that might be able to move up to a two. We could quickly grade those as well when we come back.
If you like ribs, trust me, Long Branch Steakhouse, downtown Gifford, Donnie will set you up. Donnie brought some ribs into us at the radio station, and it's all I can do to not eat and keep doing the radio show. They are incredible. And right now, Wednesday and Thursday, take advantage of a happy hour special. You got to be there from 5 to 6:30. $13.99 gets you a half slab of ribs, small salad, and one side. They're incredible. Take advantage, Long Branch Steakhouse, downtown Gifford. Think ribs.
Classic and rustic, contemporary, Hampton style, minimalist, or a combination of them all. We all have our own unique needs, particular styles, and favorite color patterns. Luther Falls understands that. They have an awesome creation suite on their website, lutherfalls.com, that allows you to pair different colors of cabinets, hardwood floors, and countertops. The staff at Luther Falls will take care of all of your needs and make sure the cabinets and pieces of flooring are perfectly set up. The quality of their products is second to none, and service that can't be beat. Contact LutherFalls.com today.
Financing now available.
If you're looking for a great paying part-time job with flexible hours, check out 2020 Census Jobs.
You may have another job, or not. You may even be retired or looking for some extra income, but you can also help make sure that everyone gets counted. So apply today at 2020census.gov/jobs to help strengthen your community.
One in four batteries in America needs changed. Is that yours? There's only one way to tell. Go to Interstate All Battery Center on Mattis and they will get you tested. No appointment needed. If your battery is over 4 years old, you're in danger. Don't be left on the side of the road on your way to work or that special event. Interstate Battery is your protector from bad power. There are three ways to get in contact with them. Go to Interstate All Battery Center on Mattis. Head to their website at interstatebatteries.com or give them a call at 217-355-4855.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back here on the drive, we did the potential 1 and 2 seeds. Now let's look at some 3 seeds because Illinois could potentially be a 6.
Yeah.
Really could work their way up to a 4 or a 5 more likely than a 4, I would think.
I think so. We were talking if you got second or third place in the Big Ten and then won at least one game in the Big Ten tournament.
Saturday.
I mean, if you finish as the second best team, technically, in terms of the standings in what is universally known as the toughest conference in the country, and then you win a game in the conference tournament as well, I don't really see why you shouldn't be a 5 seed, right?
Yeah. I think a 5 seed for sure would make sense to me. We'll see what you do, especially if you could add a road win at Columbus or even a home win against Iowa. Look pretty good on a resume.
For sure. The 3 seeds right now, according to Bracket Matrix, are Creighton, Villanova, and Seton Hall. I grouped those together because they're all Big East teams, and I also don't know what to make really.
I don't watch a ton of Big East basketball
of any of them.
Full transparency here.
Creighton's been really good lately. They just blasted Butler. I think they won by like 30.
Villanova, 81 to 59, yeah.
Villanova's Villanova. They've had some weird losses, but again, you kind of have to feel like Jay Wright will have those guys ready for March. And then Seton Hall, obviously, has Miles Powell. They've had some weird, difficult losses, Rutgers being one of them. But again, they kind of have a dude. So how would you rank those three? I know we don't watch them closely, but what's your fear factor with those three?
Well, the fear factor of Seton Hall is they have Miles Powell. Mm-hmm. And he's a beast. I like that he's a guard. Maybe you can match up Io. I think Illinois, for the most part, has done pretty well with guards. You worry about the bigs or the four. I know that DeMonte just shut down Lamar Stevens in a game, but switching Io and Felice onto him, he's got some size on Felice. That'd be interesting. One thing I like is on their KenPom, I see red on the three-point shooting.
Hey-o.
So that's a matchup.
This is for Seton Hall?
Yeah, Seton Hall.
Okay.
Their coach also looks like John Gross, so that's also another thing.
They've got, he's not related to Georgie, but he's also from Georgia, I believe.
That's right.
Mamu Kalishvili or something like that. He has a similar last name to Bashanishvili. He kind of looks
like
Georgie.
Oh, that was just the last name that you did. Mamu Kalishvili is his whole last name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Did you think I was saying his first name?
I thought Mamu was his first name.
No, no, that's his whole last name.
Sandro was his first name.
There you go.
Interesting.
Anyways, that's just kind of
Villanova, I know what you mean with Jay Wright.
They just feel very sound to me, right? Like, I don't see them going and getting blasted by 20 in the tournament.
Maybe they'd go back to their prior way. Last year, they only made it to the second round. Before Jalen Brunson, they were a team that you were always in between that period of Kyle Lowry and Jalen Brunson. They were an out in the first round or second round, even as a high seed. And then with Creighton, they're one of those teams where I see really green on the three-point shooting, 39%. They're fifth in the country offensive efficiency, fourth in three-point shooting. That would scare me.
No thanks. I'll pass on that. Alec, what are your thoughts on these Big East teams?
So Seton Hall, in my opinion, is a team that's kind of fluctuated a lot. At times they've been like up in the top 25, like fairly high, and then there's been times where they've fallen out. And I feel like a big thing in the tournament is like consistent play throughout the year. So I would feel better about playing Seton Hall than I would Villanova. I think Villanova is a very well-coached team. They tend to play to their style very well, and they execute. And a lot of credit to Jay Wright on that. So I would have Villanova 1. I think I would put Creighton at 3rd, just behind Seton Hall. And I know that Creighton is the highest projected right now, but I would put Villanova 1st.
Okay. And other teams in the running for a 3 seed right now, Louisville, Kentucky, and Oregon.
Oregon still would scare me.
Pritchard, right?
Pritchard. They got dudes that can shoot. Justin can rebound inside. Oh, they need a five. Dante's been hurt.
Okoro's not a five.
Okoro's not really a five.
What's up, Francis? How's it going out there?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been fine for them. Kentucky's interesting. I feel like that's not a terrible matchup either, even though they're Kentucky.
As long as Tyrese Maxey doesn't go for 30 on you, you're
and I would
okay.
love Louisville. Trev Palm's rating Louisville like one on this list of the high seeds that you might face.
Okay.
Alec?
I would not want to play Kentucky just because I don't like athleticism against Illinois. Tyrese Maxey is one of my more favorite players to watch in the country. Oregon scares me because Dan Altman's a good coach. But yeah, I agree with you, Trevor. I would, of those three teams, I'd want to play Louisville.
Okay, there you have it.
We come back. We'll do drive time. We'll talk some baseball. We'll talk Kobe King to Nebraska. You also hear from Brad Underwood and the players. This is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.